from every situation. And he's going to use your experiences, your mess, and he's going to make it into his message, and you're going to help people.
Truth, live from the booth, always piece 100 proof. She's bringing to you words of encouragement with the funny twist to feed your soul like nourishment. While you're listening, I hope you catch a feeling, cause Tina talks truth about hope, truth, and healing. So I hope you tuning in to the radio. Tina talks truth is the only way to go.
Good morning. This is Tina Levine with Tina Talks Truth radio show here on One Jam Nation Radio. Thank you for tuning in. And thank you for sharing Tina Talks Truth. And thank you for messaging me and texting me. And thank you to Idioms for my introduction song. I'm just so full of gratitude today. No, actually, you know what? I have had an attitude of gratitude for a few days. And people, that does not mean that my life is perfect. It's by far perfect, let me tell you. But what that does mean is, in spite of my life not being perfect, I will not allow that to shake me or bring me down. So I am going to have an attitude of gratitude. So every day I try to be grateful. Sometimes it's just being grateful that I woke up, that I can walk and open that refrigerator or that freezer and hope that there's some ice cream in there, you know. But if I don't have ice cream, you know what? I am just grateful. I'm grateful to have running water. You know, there's lots of people in this world that don't even have running water. So I just invite you to join me on this journey of being grateful today. Also, it is November 1st, Wednesday. You're almost to the weekend and it's the beginning of a month. So maybe, just maybe, you're starting a new healthy activity. Maybe you said that you're going to start working out the first month or shed some of that poundage or tone up. So I'm just encouraging you that whatever it is you're diving into, that you pray for that guidance and that discernment, and God will guide you. God will guide you on this path. So it's November 1st. It's the first of the month. And the month of Thanksgiving. So talking about gratitude, people, it's the month of Thanksgiving. I'm going to start with 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new creation. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Why do I share that? Well, if you haven't heard of Tina Talks Truth and my testimony or any of my past radio show guests, you'll know that this has been like a standing lesson week after week after week. God creating us into a new creation, and that the old life is gone and that a new life is beginning. This is a new beginning. You know, every day that you wake up, it's a clean slate. God has gifted you with mercy every day. And I am so grateful for that opportunity. So I'm just encouraging you to dive into what it is that God is leading you into today. And let me just start us with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the mercy that you bestow on us each and every day. And your grace is enough for us. And we thank you, God. We thank you for the opportunity to just pour into others and help them and meet them where they're at and just love on them. Lord, I thank you for our guest today. I thank you for his passion and his purpose. And Lord, I thank you for his commitment. You know his work schedule. And he shares it with us, and he is busy, God. And we just ask that you give him the strength and travel mercies as he tours and just travels throughout the world sharing your hope, God. We also lift up anyone that has any prayers or concerns or needs. It may be a medical diagnosis, but God, you know these people and you know their needs. And Lord, we just lift them up. We lift our brothers and sisters up to you, God. We ask for a hedge of protection around all of our children, our servicemen and women, our first responders. And we just ask that each one of our listeners today are touched by this message of hope, joy, laughter, and healing. I thank you for another opportunity to be on the airways and just sharing and glorifying you, God, for all the goodness and all the good works that you do through us each and every day. Amen. Ray Lozano. Okay, people. If you want a drug prevention speaker, an educator, a motivational youth speaker, an international and national youth speaker. He's the founder of Prevention Plus. I tell you, if you want up-to-date drug education for your young people, contact Ray. He is just an unbelievable speaker and just a go-getter. This interview is going to motivate you and it's going to inspire you. This is my friend Ray.
And I have a special guest this morning. This is Ray Lozano. And Ray, thank you so much for waking up early and joining us on the Tina Talks Truth Radio Show.
Oh, you bet. I should be thanking you. This is great, man. I am so excited to be, on your show this morning.
Well, I'm so excited because I saw you like 17 years ago. Isn't that wild?
Oh,
you had to been
gosh.
Like, you had to been like 10 years old, I think.
That's about right.
you were actually speaking at a youth prevention conference. And oh my goodness, your humor, I could tell that you had done stand-up because your humor just came across. It was just incredible. And so I've actually just kind of watched you grow and grow. And it's just amazing because you're like 10 feet tall now, right?
Yeah.
But, no, I should say, I've seen you grow in your profession. So Ray is actually the founder of Prevention Plus, and he's actually an international and nationally known youth speaker. And he actually educates young people about drugs and alcohol, but not only educates, but he has a heart and passion for prevention. So tell us, Ray, how did this all start? You shared with me that at 9 years old, you made a decision that just changed the rest of your life.
Definitely. 9 years old, God stepped into our family and turned things around because prior to that, our family was pretty crazy. I had a brother that was basically a drug trafficker, brought heroin in from Mexico way back in the late 60s, early 70s. Had another brother that had a lot of anger issues, drank a lot, and did a lot of drugs. I had a dad that was a fighter when he got drunk. Had a sister that used a lot of meth. And had a mom that drank as well. And my oldest brother, Henry, got busted at the border smuggling heroin in and was going to end up doing some jail time, of course, and met the Lord and literally turned his life around. You know, that's a big, long story. But, he turned his life around and God just really stepped in. And through my brother Henry, there has been this domino effect where Henry came to know the Lord and through an organization called Teen Challenge, and they invited my mom, my dad, and myself. I'm the baby of the family, so just to give a little bit of understanding, between me and my oldest brother is 17 years difference. So, when he was 25, I was 9 or 26, and, he invited us up to go watch him get baptized, and man, I remember that pastor talking about what baptism was, and he threw that call out, does anybody else want to be baptized? I remember raising my hand, and then my mom raised her hand, and, it was a complete turnaround in our family. Not overnight, but man, it was amazing to watch the Lord work. And so now I look at our family, and it is a completely different family because of what God has done.
Isn't it amazing how he just transforms us from the inside out? And he can work that through the family. You know, they say with alcoholism and drug addiction that the family dynamics is really focused on the disease of addiction. And it's amazing that God transformed all of you and healed you. It just seems like all at the same time, like, come on, let's get on this train. Get on this train of healing.
Yeah, he had much bigger plans for our family. And, that verse about, how he makes old things new and, transforms and all that, man, that is solid scripture right there, man. Because if you were to ask questions about our family, and I've seen this with other Christian people as well, and they're telling you their story and you're looking at them like, that's impossible. You never went through anything like that, and it's just how God does that. And I love it. And it's awesome.
Yeah, he's a big God, and he can move big mountains, and he can heal us, and it's just amazing. But yeah, I love that verse about to make new, old things new again, and that we're new creations, and he really does transform us. He, when I share my testimony, and people are like, whoa, wait a minute, you know. And what's even crazier is that I work for the government now. if I would have been caught, I deserved, but by the grace of God, I never got caught by the police. But my goodness, that is what's so remarkable about this change and this new creation that God presents. You've been a pastor and you're an associate pastor, but you've also done stand-up. How has that helped you in your business and being an associate pastor?
My gosh, it is... Yeah, I was doing really well, and then I did stand-up comedy for about 4 or 5 years. Yeah, it has really helped me with timing, with telling a story, because when you're doing stand-up, you don't have time to unravel this story that'll take 15 minutes. You got to get right to the guts of the story, and I think that's one of the things that people really like. When I'm preaching or have an opportunity to preach, a lot of them say it's like watching stand up and then getting hit with this scripture and then, more laughter. And then all of a sudden you're thinking, and, I think one of the things that, God has given me the ability and talent to do is tell a story. And, there's so many times people are just like, yeah, tell us a story. Tell us that one again, So it is, man, I would recommend it for every pastor out there. Just take a stand-up comedy class or an improv class and figure that out, because it excels your speaking big time.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I've learned through stand-up comedy and performing Christian clean comedy is reading your audience. And I know you're speaking with middle and high school students almost every day. I looked at your schedule. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe this guy's able to squeeze us in. How has that helped you when you're speaking in front of young people to be able to read your audience and be flexible?
Yeah, I have to constantly be reading my audience. I have to constantly have stuff on different lists in my head, because if the kids are too rambunctious, then I need to tone my presentation down with less humor, more serious stories. And if the kids are very serious, I hit some schools like that, then I have to, raise the humor level up a little bit. So I'm constantly reading my audience. None of my presentations are canned. So I've had some schools that have brought me in literally from day one. There's a couple of ladies that I still do business with that I've been going out there for like 28 years, and they bring me back year after year, and they say, Ray, somehow every year it seems fresh and it seems new, and I'm always constantly updating my information, because drug information changes all the time. But I'll tell you what, if you can hold, 1,100 kids, junior high kids, on a Friday afternoon, 45 minutes before they get to go home, and you can hold their attention, there's no audience you can't speak to. Because if I speak to adults, it's easy. If I talk to kids in probation, it's easy. If I talk to kids in treatment, it's easy. But take a gym full of kids on a Friday afternoon, right before they go home, and entertain them, and you can, there's no group that's going to be tough.
Yeah, you bring up a valid point that's a gift. Right there.
Oh, yeah.
That is a gift that God gave you, that you're able to actually hold their attention. And then also what you said about, and I kind of heard you say, when you speak to audiences and if it's going to be humorous, a lot of times we have to give permission for them to laugh, because for some reason they hold it in. It's not until that first break of laughter that, we can laugh, and then everyone kind of, gets that permission. Okay, I can. This isn't going to be one of those stuffy drug and alcohol presentations. This is Ray, and we can laugh with them. And so that's just remarkable. Can you talk to us about, you said that the alcohol and drugs education, the update, and how it's constantly being updated, and there's just, there's a slew of paraphernalia and usage and just all kinds of behaviors that go along with the addictions. Talk to us about opioid addiction and what you're seeing in the schools, in the communities, and what you're doing to help prevent that.
Man, that one is just literally breaking my heart. Just, you know, I was at a junior high just a few days ago, and this is in one of those states that has legalized marijuana, and the principal just came up to me, and you could see, man, he was, I don't want to say broken, but you could see it's like he had this huge weight on his back, and he comes up to me and goes, Mr. Lozano, he goes, I really hope you can get a strong message across. He says, because this school year alone, we have had to expel 6 students, you know, and they've only been in school since September, October, November, 3 months. He goes, we've had to expel 6 students because they're always coming to school high, and this is a junior high, or they're trying to sell marijuana on our campus. And when I ask them where they get the marijuana from, you know, they said, oh, it's, you know, my mom has a medical card and stuff. So that's tough. And then I go to schools like in West Virginia. I was just there a few weeks ago, and out in the Ohio area, and high schools are having problems with kids that are using opioids. They're using heroin. They're using fentanyl. They're using, you know, all these different types of drugs. And the addictive quality for a junior high school kid, it's literally love at first sight. It's, you try that drug, it's going to go crazy inside your head. And if this were a TV show, I could draw it all out on a flip chart. But it's just, it goes inside the teenager's brain and it says, we're together forever. And just because of the way a teenager's brain works. But man, I've seen statistics. The minimum I've seen is 91 people a day in the United States are having an overdose. Between 91 and 140 people a day are dying in the United States because of that. And it's just crazy.
It's heartbreaking because these people that are overdosing, I mean, they have family members. And they have friends.
Right.
And, you know, as family and friends of people that are using and abusing drugs, it's just heartbreaking because you just feel so powerless. You feel powerless and you feel helpless and hopeless and all of that. But we know that there is hope, and we know that our hope comes from God. But let me just ask you, what brings you hope?
What brings me hope? My hope, I'll tell you, it comes from watching kids laugh when I do my presentation. My hope comes from, of course, the Lord. Just every time, you know, and I know you do presentations, so you go out there and you do this presentation. At the end of the presentation, everybody's clapping. They're telling you what a great job you did. And then you go to the next school, and you have to do that all over again. And every time I see the magic happen in my heart, I'm like, God, I know this is you. Because there's no way I can be, you know, doing such a fabulous job. So I know that the Holy Spirit is already at the next school when I get there. And then my hope comes from the kids that come up to me, and they'll either say one of two things. They'll say, man, your presentation has solidified in my head not to do drugs or alcohol, and I want to live a clean lifestyle. And then on the other side, I get the kids, and this brings me hope too, that say, wow, I didn't realize how dangerous that was. I am going to either slow down or completely stop what I'm doing. And I get emails like that, and I get, you know, things on Facebook. And that's watching a change go play, you know, go out in front of me is a thing that brings me big hope, because I know that the Lord has put me in the right spot. And every time I speak, I feel like I'm right underneath his finger.
I hear you. And, you know, what's so remarkable is, and I'm sure you've experienced this when you're speaking, and you say something at a group or school or, you know, conference, and you're like, okay, I'm not sure why I just said that, because I don't technically, you know, I typically don't say that. I'm not sure why I said that. But there's always someone afterwards that's like, oh, when you said, and they'll say exactly what you just said. That changed my life. And you're like, thank you, God. It's so remarkable how the Holy Spirit knows each heart that is sitting in that audience and what they need to hear. I love it. And I totally, it is a high for us speakers to speak and get that feedback from the audience, it's a high. It's like, wow, okay, you know what? God created me to do this, and it's just, we're hope dealers, you know?
Yeah.
We're hope dealers.
Yeah, this is the first time that this has ever happened, but I was speaking out at this school, and the school is kind of notorious for eating up presenters, and you know, a couple of the teachers told me that going into it. So I was speaking, and I saw this kind of good-sized kid in the back row of this auditorium just, like, stand up, like, mad, and he just bolted out the back door. And I saw a couple teachers run after him, and, you know, I didn't call attention to it or anything because I wasn't sure what was going on. I thought maybe he had to go to the restroom or a class or something like that. And then I just continue my presentation, and I come back, or he comes back probably about 5 minutes later and then sits back down through the whole presentation. So afterwards, one of the teachers came up to me and said, oh, sorry about, and I'll just use the name Jeremy. And he said, sorry about Jeremy walking out. And I said, oh, that's fine. I said, I figured he had something going on. She said, you were making him really mad. And I said, I was. And he goes, yeah. He said that he felt like you were looking at him and that there was nobody else in the audience, and I was talking specifically to him. And I said, wow. And she goes, yeah, he's kind of a little bit notorious for, you know, drug use on our campus. And he said he just felt like, you know, like he was the only kid in the audience and I was drawing attention to him. So she said she talked him outside for a little bit and then came back in. He, you know, came back in. And then at the end, he went up to that teacher and said, ma'am, we need to have more speakers like this, just because it hit home with me too close. And she said, you know, they put the kid, they had him talk with a counselor, and he definitely recognizes now that he has a drug problem. And she said that they had been working with him for like a year and a half since he's been a freshman, and he just won't admit it. And she said this presentation, you know, my little 45-minute presentation demonstrated to him that he does have a drug problem. And I'll tell you, Tina, that's not me. That is definitely the Lord working right there.
That's incredible. And that's how he works. And especially when young people are contemplating that, and I'm sure that you know the whole stages of change in that. And when they're contemplating, okay, you know what, maybe I do have a problem. And God put you in right at that perfect moment, and you just confirmed and convicted his heart. That is just amazing. I love stories like that. Also, I was looking on your website, and I was looking at your style of how you speak, and it sounds like you use motivational interviewing as to, let's talk about the benefits of alcohol and drugs, because, you know, of course, there wouldn't be use or abuse of alcohol and drugs if there weren't some benefits that these young people, you know, think of. And then you are able to twist it then and say, okay, well, these are the consequences. Talk to us about that in your style of speaking.
Well, like my presentation, my marijuana presentation, I know, you know, just from what I understand about the brain and how marijuana works on kids and stuff like that, if I were to just come straight out and start hammering away at marijuana, it just shuts everybody down, you know, and all the kids that are smoking, yeah, they just turn off. So the first, gosh, maybe 10 minutes of my marijuana presentation, I'm talking about the history of marijuana. I'm talking about how the Egyptians used it, how the Romans used it. I'm talking about how the plant interacts with other plants. I'm talking about, you know, all that kind of stuff. So the first 10 minutes, I see some teachers like, oh, I thought this guy was against marijuana. Not that I'm talking about the, you know, the benefits of it from smoking, just how it's been around and how the plant has survived. And then what I slowly start doing is I start moving into this thing of, it's not like an ordinary plant. It's not like an orange tree or an apple tree or a head of lettuce, because it's completely different. And then I asked all the kids, you know, why do kids smoke, or what are some of the benefits? And then all the answers that they give me, and it's always the same, I start to unravel those. And by the end, kids are like, oh, man, that makes a lot of sense, you know. And so that's one of the big things that I do, is I kind of target it that way. And that approach has been really effective. That's what gets me to come back over and over again.
And it sounds like it mixes it up that you're going to have audiences. I mean, basically they say the same thing, probably that they want to relax or that's a stress reliever or they think it's cool, you know, and you kind of get some of the same answers, but it also mixes it up. It kind of gives you more awareness of that community and that school.
Right.
So
right.
That's what's so remarkable about it is, and I also like that you said that you don't have a canned presentation, because when you're speaking about alcohol and drugs and that, I mean, you really can't. It's gonna differentiate with every audience exactly
right.
where they're at and every single person. Another question I always ask my guests is, what brings you joy?
There's a lot of things that bring me joy, and I'm, you know, man, I'll tell you, walking down the ramp to get on a plane, I know that sounds crazy, but halfway through, I'm like, I'm definitely smiling as I walk. I feel like a first-time flyer every time, because I know that when I'm getting on a plane, I'm going to go to some school. I'm going to be able to talk to a bunch of kids. So I'm always happy about that. As I'm getting off the plane, walking back, I'm always thinking, wow, man, I'm home again, you know. And I know that sounds crazy, but I was just I just caught myself the other day walking halfway down and smiling again. And then just, man, just being able to do what I feel I was put on this planet to do brings me a ton of joy. Just knowing that as soon as I finish this radio interview, I'm going to grab a bottle of water, I'm going to drive for about an hour and a half, and I'm going to talk to 6th, 7th, and 8th graders for about 3.5 hours. And that, you know, I mean, that's going to bring me so much joy this afternoon.
That's awesome. So you're using your passion for your purpose, and that's what gives you joy. That's awesome. I have to say, too, I get joy from seeing your surprise trips with your wife on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. We get that comment so much, you know, because I've been married for 30 years, and I know that my marriage is where a lot of my strength comes from, knowing that I have a wife. And it's so funny, before we were married, I remember my wife being all serious. This is probably about 2 months before we were married. She looked at me all serious, and she said, I'll always be your motor. I'll never be your anchor. And I remember when she told me that, I thought, oh, man, I'm really going to test that, you know. And, I'll tell you, there's been so many times I've told my wife, hold my hand, man, we're going to jump. And, you know, we've done these crazy leaps of faith, you know, where we made a move, and I told her, man, I really feel like the Lord wants us to move here, and so we'll pray about it, you know. And then she's like, yep, I feel the same thing. And, I got to preserve that. So we do a lot of getaways. We do a lot of, you know, sneaking away for the weekends. This last run I had, I was going to be gone for a solid 5 weeks. So every weekend I was flying her to a different place. So we met in Little Rock, Arkansas one weekend, and then the next weekend we were in Columbus, Ohio, and then the next weekend we were in Portland, Oregon, and the next weekend we were, where did we go the next weekend? Well, I don't even know. But it was just, you know, we get these little romantic getaways, because that's, like I said, that's where my strength comes from, having a super supportive wife.
That's incredible. And I love that you both nurture that, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that you keep that passion going and that element of surprise. It's just so cool. So how important is laughter to you, Ray?
Oh, my gosh. Laughter's super important. I think every morning my wife wake up and we'll end up talking about something before we get out of bed. And we're usually laughing about something, and this morning we had a big, huge laugh on the thing we were watching the dog do. And, you know, there's always some kind of goofiness or something that we're doing. And I'll tell you, again, we've been married for 30 years, and I love talking to my wife. And sometimes when I'm on the road, I'll look at my phone and realize, oh, my gosh, we've been talking for 2.5 hours, you know, and because I have to drive somewhere and she's sitting at the house, so we just have the phone on, and, yeah, we're just chattering away, and I don't know how that has lasted this long, but it's, you know, we're always asking each other goofy questions, or, you know, gosh, I come up with the weirdest stuff, and so does she. Like I'll wake up in the morning and I'll, you know, ask her something like, what do you think Tom Cruise is eating for breakfast? And then she'll say, oh, you know, and then she'll lay out this whole list. Instead of saying, I don't know, she's like, oh, he's probably having turkey bacon with sourdough bread and, you know, having a glass of orange. And so we do that kind of stuff all the time, always some kind of goofy question. Or I know this is so weird. Or we'll do stuff like, you know, I'll drive past a tree or something. But I bet that tree's thinking, man, that's really cool. I'm so close to the road. You know, so we're always having those kind of weird conversations. But it really keeps the laughter going in our marriage.
That's awesome. Wow. I make my husband laugh, too, in bed, but not because I say anything. It's usually because my hair, I have short hair. And he's like, which light socket did you stick your finger in?
Yeah.
It's kind of scary, actually. I'm really glad that Halloween's coming up because...
Yeah, it legitimizes you for one day. Yeah.
That's right. I'm just going to fit right in because, woo, yeah. This hair has a mind of its own. Oh, you kind of touched on this with, you know, your family healing and that, but I guess how does one know they're healing or have been healed?
You know what? That is a great question. And I think once somebody realizes that they're healed is when they can start healing others or giving to others. And I'll tell you, when I talk to kids that are incarcerated or kids that maybe are, you know, in the system somehow or they've been abused, they don't laugh. And that, it doesn't bother me, like presentation-wise. It bothers me that they have had so much taken away from them that they can't find laughter, you know, anymore. And it's so hard to do like my A material and just watch kids sit there. Again, not because I need feedback from them, but I think to myself, how broken are you, you poor kids, that you can't even laugh, you know? And I just want to like heal their hearts. But I think once a person can give back, once a person can say, you know what, your needs are more important than my needs, I have plenty to give. And, you know, it goes back to that scripture, man. If you have two coats and you see somebody that doesn't have any, give them one of your coats. And I think that's where the healing is. When you can look and go, you know what, you not having a coat, you not having a jacket is way more important than me having two. And when a person can give back to other people, I think that's when you can say, wow, I'm healed. And I see that with people with addictions. They cannot give. They can't give a laugh. They can't give a favor. They can't give a dollar. They can't give, you know, any kind of compliment. But once they get in and they start moving away from addiction and moving closer to, you know, whoever God is or, you know, God in their life, then all of a sudden they have this flip and they're like, gosh, I want to help people that were in my situation. And right there I realize, wow, that's a healed person.
Absolutely. And, you know, I need to thank you because you have mentored me through this whole speaking ministry and business. For years, you have actually given to me and just helped me through this whole process. And I just want to thank you for allowing, you know, me to have a little insight of Ray's world. And,
yeah.
And it really, really means the world to me that you've taken time to be on my radio show today and just share your hope and your joy, your laughter and your healing. And I just have one other question. How can we pray for you, Ray, and your ministry?
You know what, I would definitely for strength, you know, being on the road, definitely for safety. And you know what, I would really, really love it. You know, I have a couple of people locally here, but I would like to start reproducing myself. And I feel like, you know, if I could start maybe either training people or finding some people that have that passion a little bit to do that. And I'm going to tell you, Tina, I've had people, you know, step up and go, oh, yeah, I want to do this. But it's hard work. It's you know, I think most people think when they come to me, I'm just going to start putting them in front of kids right away. It's not. And it's, you know, people have to have 45 minutes for me to be able to help them. Have it, well, not 45, but at least have 20 minutes of solid material that they can do over and over and over again. And, You know, the thing about it is, you know, that scripture, study to show thyself approved, a workman needeth not be ashamed, you know, rightfully dividing the word of God. And I believe that's true for me as well. I need to know my craft before I can start making some pretty things. So when people come to me that I could reproduce, you know, they need to at least have that. And the other thing, Tina, I think it's been a big prayer in my life. I would like to start doing more international stuff. And I think the military bases overseas, I would love to start speaking to American kids that are on going to military high schools in Germany and France and, you know, all these different places. So, yeah, those are probably some big prayer requests, but those are the things that come to mind right away.
Hey, we serve a big God, so they're not big to him, you know.
Yeah.
And we will pray for strength and safety, and just if we can clone Ray, okay, if there's any scientists listening right now, if we could clone Ray and just have him all over the world, that would be such a blessing. But you know what, you brought up a good point. I just want to say real quick is so many people see the face and the person on stage of us when we speak, but what people don't realize is all the hours of research and all the hours of preparing for that 45-minute presentation it's just unbelievable. And so, I truly understand what you're saying is, you know, to find people that have that passion for their purpose, but also have that work, you know, that hard work ethic that they're just going to work. So we will definitely pray for you. And if people want to reach out to you, let's say they want you to come and speak to their church group or their school or their conference, how do they get a hold of you?
There's two ways. Definitely go to my website, which is Ray, R-A-Y, Lozano, LOZANO.com. And then if they want to send an email, it's super easy. It's admin, like administration, admin, A-D-M-I-N, at raylozano.com. And that is the best way. But I will tell you, Tina, right now, the Lord has blessed me. I am booking 1 year out. And so if somebody were to call right now and want me, I just had a call, and they're like, we want you in March. Yeah, I'm already booked up. So you have to plan your event pretty far in advance, you know, the requests I'm getting. But don't be afraid to call, because there's a couple of open dates every now and then. But, yeah, it's about a year out that I'm booking right now.
Oh, praise God. That's just incredible. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, my friend, for taking time to be on the Tina Talks Truth radio show. And the truth is, there is hope, isn't there, my brother?
There totally is, man. Thank you so much. This has been a real pleasure. And, yeah, just exciting to talk to you this morning.
All right. Thank you. And safe travels to you.
Thank you so much, Ray, for that message of hope, joy, laughter, and healing. We are definitely going to be praying for you, my brother. Thank you also for sharing that your family has been healed and that God has used you as well as your brothers and your sisters and your parents. And he has shown himself and his plans for your family. I thank you for utilizing your gifts. You know, God gave you gifts and you're sharing them with the world. So your obedient heart, your servant's heart, and you are such a helper. You give to others, not to mention you make us laugh. So thank you so much, Ray. We appreciate you and we applaud you. Thank you for all that you do and all that you say. Thank you for listening to Tina Talks Truth radio show every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time here on One Jam Nation Radio. Here's Victor.
This is Victor with Tina Talks Truth. And the truth is, hope is dope.
Word. Hey, Victor!
Okay, the truth is, there is hope.